It's very familiar. It's the third chapter. And I'm going to read the very first verse. And it says, to everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. I was here in the office last night studying and putting some things together. And the Lord spoke to me. And He said, this is a season that I've called my people aside to be still and to know that I'm God. He said, I've chosen a season right now for people to come aside and be still and know that I'm God. The Lord has a purpose for this meeting in Fort Payne, Alabama. He's got a purpose for it. And if we don't learn to condition our minds and discipline our minds to be totally stayed upon what God is talking to us about and leading us into, we're going to miss a time of visitation. So when the Lord tells us things, and it hadn't been that long, back maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And I encourage people. I said, don't forget, God told us how easy it is to get distracted, to let our mind get into things and our spirit get into things that's going to totally distract us from the purpose that God's ordained for our lives. Whether you believe it or not, you can miss your visitation and you can miss the call that God's placed on your life. You can totally miss it. And I've quoted a scripture, and people quote a scripture, but I've quoted a scripture for years. For God hath not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Any of you ever quoted it? But when you go down to that very last part and you run reference on that last part, it says, and of a sound mind. Any of you ever looked that up? You ever checked that out? And of a sound mind? It means of a disciplined mind. That you've disciplined your mind to stay upon Him. And you've set your heart and your mind to do His will. And so when the Lord spoke to me last night, I knew. You know, sometimes God will speak to me and it'll be like a voice in here, like a loudspeaker. And then there's sometimes I hear the audible voice of God. But then there's sometimes that still, sacred, holy presence of God just sets in that makes you fear and tremble. You know, like Elijah when he stood in the mouth of that cave and said there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a wind, but God wasn't in the wind. There was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But then it said, and Elijah heard that still, small voice of God till he took that mantle. He wrapped his face in that mantle for fear and reverence of God when God spoke. That's what I felt last night. God said, this is my season. This is my season that I've chosen to cause my people to be still. And you know, being still ain't physical. Whether y'all think it is or not. Oh, there's a physical side to it. Being still's right here. Getting that sound mind discipline concentrated and targeted on what God wants to work in you. Because, you know, the Lord spoke to me back in 97, right out of the blue, just shocked me. He said, I don't need you to fulfill my will and my purpose in the earth. He said, I've chosen you. He said, but I don't have to have you. He said, I can raise up 100 to take your place. So if y'all think that God's got to have us, no, he don't have to have us. He don't have to have none of us. I can raise up people and put in our place in a heartbeat. Does he want us? Has he chosen us? Yes. Somebody is going to possess the kingdom. See, how do you know, Brother Metter? Because it says in Daniel, and the saints of the Most High shall possess the kingdom forever and forever. So somebody's going to possess the kingdom. Whether I do it or you do it, that's a different story. But the word of the Lord that came to me last night, it said, this is my will at this time for my people to be still and know that I'm God. This is my season that I've chosen to visit my people. Just because we haven't set the meeting in Fort Payne and advertised it as a camp meeting, we haven't advertised great anointed singing and great anointed preaching. We haven't advertised dinner on the ground. People want to kind of shy away from it. That's okay. There's a visitation. Whoa. Whoa! There's a visitation. God dropped it down in my spirit last night. This is a season that he's chosen. That he has chosen to visit his people. Something's coming out of this meeting. Something's coming out of this meeting. And I believe, you know, Jesus, you know, the Lord dealt with me about a month ago that, and I've always preached in all the knowledge I've ever had. When we read in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let us give him dominion. I always preached that man was created in the fullness of God, but he wasn't. Man only had dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over everything that creepeth on the earth. Man didn't have dominion over everything at that time. He didn't have it. And I was studying and praying this morning and late last night about the restoring, because whether y'all realize it or not, God's had me on this track of restoring for 7 years. I've been laying this word down, building a foundation on it for 7 years now, trying to get people in the mind to receive and trying to get them from being distracted. Because we got so much going on in our lives and our flesh gets so involved in so much stuff till it's hard to focus sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just hard to focus. I mean, you can focus on everything you got to do in the natural. If I asked y'all things you had to take care of in the natural, y'all could rattle them off like that. But if I started asking you things about what's going on in your spirit, man, y'all probably hit a long pause. So, God has brought this time, I'm telling you, the word of the Lord come to me, and God said, this is my season that I've chosen to visit my people. But it's got to be a season that you let the Spirit of God cause you to be still. Don't think you're going to that meeting in Fort Payne and you're going to have so much going on in your spirit that you can't pull yourself aside in your mind, discipline yourself, be still, and you coming out with something. No, you ain't coming out with anything. And you know, Jesus, everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people like to say, well, Jesus come down here. He had power over everything when he come down here. No, he didn't. He was a man. He was a man. When he went in that wilderness and fasted and prayed those 40 days, the Lord took me into a time of visitation several years ago and showed me how the Spirit of God taught him in that wilderness on things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the Bible said when he come out of that wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. When he went in, he wasn't walking in the power of the Spirit. But when he come out, he returned in the power of the Spirit over demons, sickness, and disease. And the Lord showed my wife how that Mary took Jesus and taught him from the time he was a little boy, teaching him the scriptures and preparing him. And when he went in that wilderness, the Spirit of God taught him what he was fixing to step into. Bible said he waxed strong in spirit and he grew in wisdom, grew in stature. Well, if he already had it all, why would he have to grow? And if he had the fullness of the Father before his crucifixion, why did it say in Ephesians 1 and 20 what he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? And he set him far above all principalities and powers. Why did he say in Matthew 28, 19, behold, all power in heaven and earth now dwells right here. He didn't have it before. He didn't have it before. I don't know about you, but I'm after something. Give me just a hair volume. So I'm after something. Amen. Is anybody after anything? I'm after this kingdom. I spent 47 years seeking for death, and I ain't going to miss it now. Because I don't know that I got another 47 to do it again. And I don't want to do no backtracking, and I don't want to do no do-overs. I want to get it right the first time. You know, there's an old saying, practice makes perfect. And I heard somebody say here a while back, some said, no. Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Because you practice wrong, you're going to wind up wrong. But if you practice perfect, Sister Deborah, you got to do it right. You got to practice it right. You know what? My wife was in music most of her life in high school and a little bit after high school. She wound up number one in the state in what she done. But to do that, practice had to be perfect. Or perfect enough those judges would rank her number one in the state. But if you practice wrong, you're going to wind up wrong. So, I'm making you practice right. No matter how hard it is, and no matter how uncomfortable it makes you, I'm going to make you practice right. Because I don't like new stuff over. I still don't feel like I'm hearing myself. Maybe it's just me. But, huh? Y'all hearing me okay? Okay. I don't want no do-overs. Because Peter said, after you have suffered a little while, I don't want to suffer again. Once is enough. Amen. He said, after you have suffered a little while, I will strengthen you, establish you, and make you perfect or bring you to maturity. So, I don't want to suffer again. I don't know about y'all, but once is enough. So, just know that we've moved into a season of being still. You know, in Psalms 46 and 10, he said, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Hardest thing in the world to get people to do is be still mentally and spiritually, because it's the enemy's job to keep you stirred up. Any y'all ever, and I grew up with the cartoon Peanuts. Y'all grew up with it? Y'all ever seen Pigpen in the cartoon Peanuts? Always got the dust devil, the clouds, the dirt stirred up around him. That's where most people are spiritually. They got everything stirred up till nothing settles. It's time to let the cloud settle and be still and come to know him. God's looking for a people that he can have a relationship with and come to know him. Daniel said, I saw a people that do know their God. They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. So I was, Lord put that spirit, that word in my spirit years ago. And I was praying one day and I said, Lord, I said, what's an exploit? I said, because I know I've had miracles, I've had healings. I said, but you said they're going to do exploits. He said, parting the Red Sea, causing fire to come out down from heaven, bringing down the walls of Jericho, walking in the middle of the fiery furnace, putting the money in the fish's mouth, multiplying the loaves and fishes. He said, those are exploits. He said, a lot of people are going to have healings. A lot of people are going to have miracles. He said, but only those that come to know me in intimacy, that'll come aside in that time of relationship and really get to know me. He said, and I've become one with them. He said, that's the one that's going to do exploits. I plan on doing exploits. Amen. I plan on doing exploits. I plan on coming to know my God in that relationship that I can understand that oneness of God like he put in me 2 or 3 weeks ago. If y'all got the notes on that, you need to study. If you don't, you need to get them. You need to email me or ask me for them. But y'all need to study those because there's a mystery there. There's a mystery. And when you lock in that mystery, it opens it up. It opens up the pathway to be a partaker of it. You know, Deuteronomy 29 and 29 said the secret things or the mysteries of God belong to the Lord. But when they are revealed, they belong to us. Once they're revealed, they belong to us. Once God reveals something to you, it's yours. And you can be made a partaker of it. Just like I told people, once you ever defeat a spirit and conquer it, you own that thing. It ain't going to mess you up again. You own it. And no way it can mess you up again is for you to totally surrender and give over to it. But once you defeat a spirit, I don't care what kind of spirit it is, you own that thing. You do. You own it. And I want victory. Why? He paid for total victory. There's not a force. There's not a demon. There's not a sickness. There's not a torment. There's not a force of hell that he didn't conquer. It's all conquered. Amen. He's victorious over all things. Natural death nor spiritual death has any victory over him now. Are y'all with me today? I feel like I'm preaching to myself up here. Go ahead and pass those notes out. I'm going to go to 2 Peter, and I'm going to read this as she's passing the notes out. And then I'm probably going to do more teaching than I'm going to do preaching today. Because I just feel like it's time for God's people to learn. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 4:20, he said, you've not so learned Christ. You've got to learn the Word of God. You've got to learn how to walk with God. You've got to learn how to serve God. And you've got to learn how to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. If you don't learn how to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, you'll never grow. Amen. And I don't have this in the notes, but I'm going to read this. And the Lord put what I'm fixing to deal with, He put it in my spirit about 5:30 this morning. And I come out here to church, and I didn't go back to the trailer about 8:30, 9 o'clock. So, I'm in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse. The second epistle, beloved, now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus. So, being an apostle by the commandment of the Lord Jesus, I'm going to do everything in my power today to stir you up and stir up your mind by the way of remembrance and get you to go back. God's been talking to us about this visitation strong since 2016. Is anybody hearing me? Go back to our YouTube channel. There's a prophecy dated 9/4/2016. That's September the 4th, 2016. Go in there and listen to it. The first thing the Lord said in that prophecy, this day I changed the course of man in the earth. And y'all remember that prophecy? This very day, He said, I change the course of man in the earth. He said, because I'm bringing forth a new anointing. He didn't say I was bringing forth a new anointing in a good old-fashioned way. He said, I'm bringing forth a new and a different anointing. And the Lord went on later and began to tell me, He said, a new anointing is going to require a new ministry, and a new ministry is going to preach to a new generation. There's a new generation being brought forth right now. Right now. That's what I said. Whether you and I possess this kingdom, whether we get it, whether we take hold of it, somewhere somebody's going to get it, because He said the saints of the Most High will possess. See, somewhere this word is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. And whether you're a part of it or not is up to you. It ain't up to God. It's up to you. If you've been chosen, then you've got to present yourself. The Lord told us, and it was 2 or 3 years ago I started dealing on this, make your calling and your election sure. Make it steadfast. Be sure you don't miss it. Because you're not going to serve God when you want to and how you want to. You know, there's people want to come to church when it's convenient. They won't come to church when they want to. They want to pray when they want to. They want to keep God's word when they want to and how they want to. But yet they want all the benefits and blessings of God that goes with somebody being faithful, steadfast, and sure. Don't work that way. That's kind of spiritual socialism. Say, well, what do you mean? You want me to pay the price to do everything that God wants me to do, and then you won't come in and reap the same benefits. Uh-uh. Don't work that way. Why should I pay the price, suffer and sacrifice, and then you get to reap the same reward? It's not right. That's not right. So I call it spiritual socialism. And we score again. But in the, starting with the notes, in Jude, which is only one chapter, and we go down to the third verse, and we're going to read through the fourth verse. And this is Jude, and he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you unto the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if I ask you about the first, about verse 3, "It was needful of me," Jude said, "when I wrote unto you of the common salvation, that I felt it necessary to tell you to contend or to fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." What does that mean to you? How does that identify with you? Sister Kathy, if I say, "Sister Kathy, fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints," it's spiritual warfare, but what are you fighting for? Your relationship with God, but you're also fighting for the kingdom. The only faith that was ever delivered to the saints is the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And when he came preaching the gospel, he healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out devils." Amen. The apostles preached the gospel of the kingdom. They didn't preach anything else. When Philip went to Samaria, being an evangelist, when persecution scattered the church and Philip went down to Samaria, said he went down there and preached Christ unto them, and said when they gave heed to the things Philip spake concerning, seeing the miracles that he did concerning things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You can preach salvation, you can preach repentance, you can preach water baptism. You ain't going to have miracles. But when you begin to declare the gospel of the kingdom or the faith that was given to the saints that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, when you begin to declare that power, that authority, that dominion, that revelation of Christ taking his abode in you, when you begin to declare that, God's got to bear it witness. And we ain't preaching it. And we ain't fighting for it. We ain't fighting for it. People set up and listen to preachers hours in and hours out, day in and day out, but they're not getting the gospel of the kingdom. They're getting a bunch of garbage put in their spirit. And what was it, Lisa, 2-3 weeks ago? That lady called me, and she'd been listening to a preacher, and there's a spirit come in on her. She said, she called me. She said, "Brother Metter, I'm tingling all over. I can't hardly move. I can't get up." She said, "I don't know what it is." I said, "Well, what have you been doing?" She said, "I was listening to this word by such and such a preacher. Should never been listening to him to start with." And I said, "I don't have no confidence in that preacher." She said, "Well, I ain't worried about that. I want to know what I'm feeling." And I just kept talking to her, trying to get a feel, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God hit me, and I started rebuking that thing, or that demon would have took her over. People are spiritually ignorant. They have no discerning of spirits. They are not focused on fighting for the faith that was once delivered to them on the day of Pentecost. Say, well, how do you know the kingdom was revealed on the day of Pentecost? Because Jesus said in Mark, the 9th chapter, He took Peter and James and John. And He told them, He said, there be some of you standing right here which shall not taste of death till you've seen the kingdom of God come in power. The kingdom of God came on the day of Pentecost in power. God established it. When He poured His Spirit out on the day of Pentecost on that 120, the witness wasn't tongues. The evidence wasn't tongues. He fulfilled 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. For God has sent some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. That's what He put in that 120. That's where He established the faith. That's where He set up administration. That's where He set up operation of the gifts. That's where the church was founded. That's where the faith was established. And that is what we got to go back and fight for. We ain't fighting for anything. Y'all will be here today, you'll hear this word, you'll leave this church, time you get outside and get in your car, your mind will flip back to what you got to do all next week. And from late this evening through Saturday, all you'll be caught up in is everything going on in the carnal man. You won't even realize that the very demon forces of hell are around you, fighting to destroy your call, fighting to destroy what God has placed on your life, fighting to destroy His purpose, and you can't see it because your mind has been separated into the carnal and the spiritual. And you're not fighting to lay hold on that spirit man. Well, I'll just leave that up, Brother Metter. Him and Sister Lisa do a good job. We'll just let them fight for us. That's all well and good. I can fight for you, but somewhere you got to possess your calling. Somewhere you got to come into what God's ordained for you. And somewhere you got to put out the effort to realize if God was to open y'all's eyes in the spirit right now, I'd have to pray for heart attacks. Because some of y'all would have a literal heart attack if you've seen the forces of hell around you trying to destroy you and the angel of His presence there fighting to keep you from absolutely losing your spiritual mind. But see, we don't recognize the warfare. We don't realize what was going on. I was praying this morning and the Lord spoke to my spirit. He said that scripture in Revelation where I said there was war in heaven. He said Michael and his angels fought against the devil and the devil fought against Michael and his angels. He said that ain't a one-time battle. He said that ain't something that just happens. He said that goes back thousands of years. Go back to where Daniel got in prayer for 21 days and he said, and the angel of the Lord finally come visit him. He said, Daniel, he said, I heard you the first day. He said, but you were fought against by the prince of Persia for 21 days until Michael came and helped you. So the warfare was all the way back to Daniel. The warfare goes all the way back to the book of Genesis to keep the kingdom of God from coming forth. But Satan moved with envy on Cain and he killed Abel because Abel was the seed Jesus was coming through. So from the beginning of God's relationship with man all the way till now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent are going to take it by force. The Bible tells you in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 11. Yeah, 11 and 12 and 13. And I'm down in the last paragraph on the first page. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus said, all the way from the beginning, you had the law and the prophets, and they prophesied till John. Said, but once John the Baptist came to the end of his ministry, and Jesus stepped out, and said, repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, from there forward, he said, the kingdom of heaven has been attacked. Go back to what happened when John was right at 2 years old. When John was conceived and brought forth, the Lord told Elizabeth, take him out in the desert. Take him out in the wilderness. Let him be raised out there. You know why? Because if he'd been in Jerusalem, when Herod rose up to kill Jesus, he'd have killed John the Baptist. But the Lord had him hid in the wilderness. So from the days of John the Baptist all the way to right now, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. And somebody gonna get violent. In prayer, somebody going to get violent in their actions. Somebody going to get violent in the preaching of this faith and the demonstration of this spirit. And they're going to take the kingdom by force. But are you going to be one of them somebodies? And if we don't do it now, when? When are we going to move forward in this? Well, Brother Metter, the power of the kingdom hadn't been given. I know it hadn't been given corporately, but it works in my life. It works in my life. You've seen times that God's moved on you when you were in that place you needed to be in. And God's worked miracles through your words. He's worked miracles through your prayers. So the power of the kingdom is prevalent. He just hadn't brought us into that time like the book of Acts yet, but we still got to fight for the faith. We still got to contend for the faith. What y'all do? You think you're just going to sit back and wait for God to do something? No, you're going to fight. You're going to fight. You're going to concentrate. You're going to press. You're going to push. You're going to pull. You're going to labor. Paul made the statement, I think it's in Thessalonians, he said, I labor night and day in travail. I labor in prayers and travail night and day. And he said, I'm constantly in prayer and getting in travail that Christ might be formed in you. I labor in travail again, he said, until Christ be formed in you. I believe it's Galatians 4:19 where he said that. So what are we doing? If I'm laboring for you, if I'm travailing for you, if I'm seeking God and fighting for you, what are you doing? Sitting in front of the TV with chips and dip? Are you fighting with me? You need to be fighting with me. I remember years ago, right after me and Lisa got married, I was having home prayer meetings in this lady's home. She's hopefully going to want to be with the Lord now. But I was having prayer meetings in her home. She lived about 40 miles from where we lived at the time. She called me up and said, Brother Metter, I need you to go pray about some things. I said, okay, I will. And she run all four or five things. And so I got out and started praying. I told my wife, I said, well, she ain't that far away. I said, we'll just go over and pray with her. So we got in the car and rode over in about 2 hours and she had the front door open, had one of them glass screens, you know, one of them glass screen doors. And I went up and knocked on the door, and she was reared back in front of the TV and had her big old plate of food and sitting there eating while we was over yonder praying. It don't work like that. God may hear my prayer, but that don't mean he's going to move for you. And you're not putting any effort or any energy in anything. Now, if y'all get mad at me, I can't help it. Paul said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, but I'm ready to see somebody get a focus. And not just on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. I'm ready to see somebody get a focus 7 days a week and let's fight for this faith that God has set before us. Y'all realize what God has set before us? God has set the ministry of the Son of Man, the very same ministry Jesus had on this earth. God set it before us for us to possess it. Right, I'm talking about right now. It's here. It's ready to be possessed. The faith that was delivered to the saints on the day of Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Ghost, it's upon us. This ain't something I started saying yesterday. Sister Deborah, this is something I started saying 7 years ago. I started preaching this in 2012 and y'all's coming to Fort Payne. I started preaching this kingdom when I started preaching possessing this kingdom. Everybody just backed away from me. Said, woo, buddy, he's off the mark. No, I ain't off the mark. Just because I won't let you have good church and let you get caught up in the spirit of emotion. So you can cry and bawl and squall and snot and shout and talk in tongues a little bit and go outside. Woo, my God, we had church. Okay, you had church. What was accomplished? What was accomplished? What changed in your spirit? What changed in your mind? What changed in the depth of your soul to cause you to want to fight for the faith and seek the face of God to come out with power of deliverance over the enemy? Nothing's changed you. Nothing's moved you. You just feel good about yourself. If you can't give me an amen, give me an old me. That's why I used to tell people, if you can't say amen, say old me. If you can't say old me, it's probably better just be quiet. But we're here for God to help us. We're here for God to bring us forward. Hosea 6 tells us to come. Let us return unto the Lord. For he has smitten us. Oh, God don't smite his people. Well, Hosea said he did. Said he's smitten us. But he'll bind us. He's torn us, but he will heal us. And that's the way it reads. 61, come let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn us, but he will heal us. He hath smitten us, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he'll raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Do y'all realize, according to God's timetable, we're entering into the third day since Jesus died on the cross? We're fixing to enter in that third day. We done been through them 2 days of the smiting and the tearing. Thank God we about got this thing behind us. Well, Brother Metter, I ain't been through that much. Well, tie a knot in the end of the rope, hold on tight and watch, because you fixing to go, because man, we done been through ours. We done been through ours and we done overcome. So if you ain't been through it yet and overcome, just tie on to my rope and I'll do my best to pull you through. Because you're going to go there. Because Paul said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And I want you to get the concept. There's a glory fixing to be revealed in us. It ain't your glory. And it ain't going to be up there. You ain't going to have no glory up there. What does it take for God's people to get this concept? The glory that's going to be revealed in us is the glory of the Son of Man on this earth. The glory of the Son of Man on this earth. We're going to walk as he walked on this earth. We're going to preach as he preached. We're going to have the faith he had. We're going to have the miracles he had. We're going to live the life he lived. Why? Because he's going to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. According to 1 Corinthians 4, he's going to be made manifest in our mortal flesh, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You got to have the ministry of the Son of Man before you can have the ministry of the sons of God. Amen? Am I making sense? Y'all with me? All right. Now, the ministry of the Son of Man can be restored because it's been given before. The ministry of the Son of God ain't ever been demonstrated on this earth. So it can't be restored. Y'all catch that in a minute. We'll slow that galloping horse down. Y'all hear what I said? Jesus did not call himself very many times the Son of God until after his resurrection. He was not referred to as the Son of God until after his resurrection that much. He was the Son of Man. We are going to minister as he ministered when he walked this earth in the ministry of the Son of Man, which will bring us to the place to go into the manifested sons of God. But if you can't walk as he walked on this earth, you ain't going to walk as he is now. Can't do it. Amen. Can't do it. You got to first become as he was before you can become as he is. And this is where God's wanting to take us. I don't think we realize where God wants to take us. Y'all need to get it out of your heads that when I say something about the Holy Ghost, I ain't talking about just shouting, talking tongues. I'm talking about the indwelling of the resurrected Christ. I'm talking about a portion of that power of that resurrection taking its abode right here. And you having power over demons, sickness, disease, certain circumstances and situations. You telling the rain to stop. You telling the lightning and the thunder and the wind, be still. Be still. And because it recognizes the voice of the Creator that speaks out of you, it has no choice. I said it has no choice. But there's got to be a time that we start fighting for this. And it's now. It's right now. Because the battle's going on all around you. Just because you ain't in the battle don't mean the battle's quit. You know, I can't give you the scripture reference. I know it's in 2 Kings. Now, I think it was the king of Syria got mad because every move he made against the king of Israel, the king of Israel knew what he was going to do. And the king of Israel got mad and he said, I want to know who's betraying us. Because every time we make a battle plan and we go against the king of Israel, he already knows what we're going to do. And one of his advisors spoke up and said, there ain't nobody betraying you. He said, there's a man of God over there named Elisha. Said, the Lord tells him what your counsel is in your war council behind closed doors. And the Lord tells him what you're going to do before you do it. And he goes and tells King Israel, and that way the king of Israel's ready for you. He said, really? They got a prophet named Elisha that God talks to. And they go tell the king, and he go tell you. He said, yeah. He said, find out where he is, and we'll go get him. So they found out where he was, and they surrounded the city where he was. His servant went out one morning to get water, and he come running back in. He said, man of God, we in trouble. He said, what's the matter, son? He said, the whole Syrian army's got the city surrounded. And Elisha said, Lord, take scales off his eyes. Let him see that they be for us, are so many more than they that be against us. And the Lord took scale off his servant's eyes, and the mountains all the way around them was full of horses and chariots and fire. See, just because you can't see it, the battle don't stop. Just because you can't see it, God has his forces around. And they're there to fight for you. They're there to protect you. But you got to be walking upright before him. You got to be walking in the center of his will and doing what he's predestined and foreordained for you. The battle don't stop. Psalms will tell you that the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. Okay, was the angel of the Lord encamped round about you for? There's a battle. There's a warfare. There's a realm of the Spirit that we know nothing about. That's why I said if I prayed for the Lord to take scale off your eyes, I'd probably have to pray for some of you because you'd have a heart attack. You see the forces of hell that's there to destroy you. But because you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. Because you've been taught that Jesus is going to fight for you and the angel of the Lord is going to be there and camp round about you, there's a certain amount of faith keeps God fighting for you. Even when we do wrong, He keeps fighting for us. Even when we step out of line, He keeps fighting for us. Even when we get off track, He keeps fighting for us. And He'll stay there hoping you're going to come back in line. Hoping you're going to get back on track. If y'all knew how many times I prayed for people, for God to stir them up and get them back on track. And y'all would come appreciate me. Because I'm fighting for you. Amen. I'm fighting for you. But I don't want you to get so slack that you totally lose focus. Because ain't one thing matters right now. And my wife, I think she taught on this in one of the ladies' meetings. It was about Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus went to Lazarus' house to eat. I can't never remember which one of them it was. You can tell me which one was serving. Martha was serving and she was running back and forth and doing all this stuff. And Mary just went in. Jesus was teaching. She just folded them legs up Indian style and got right down in front of Jesus and just sat there listening to the word. And Martha finally got aggravated and upset, said, "Lord, there's so much to do." And said, "I'm running myself to death trying to get things done so y'all can have a good dinner." And my sister's sitting right there. And he looked at her and said, "Martha," he said, "you're so concerned about so many things when only one thing's needful. One thing. One thing's needful. Sister Deborah, one thing's needful." And said, "your sister Mary's seen that thing and she's chosen the good part. She's chosen that needful part. Because all this other stuff, it's going to pass away. These temporal things going to pass away. The Lord's told us all these temporal things, they're going to pass away, but there is an exceeding, I can't get the quote on it right now, but it's supernatural. It has an exceeding eternal weight and glory. What we do in the Spirit has an exceeding and eternal weight and glory because all this other stuff is going to pass away. When Elvis Presley died, he was worth $42 million. Without God blessing me, I'll never see that kind of money. And I don't want that kind of money naturally, but I do want it for ministry. I mean, y'all think, I went and looked at that building last week worth $1.6 million and that 46 acres. Y'all think I forgot that? Uh-uh. I've been ringing God's doorbell. And I've been telling Him, now, if this is the mind and will of God, I can do a lot with that property for the kingdom of God. And if you give a visitation according to the book of Acts, which I feel like you're doing, and you start adding 500 souls here, 1,000 there, 1,500 over yonder, I said, we're going to need something like that. And whether you give me the money to buy it or you tell somebody to speak, and you speak to somebody to give it to me, I don't care, but if it's your will, then I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it. Just like I put that prayer cloth in that seat under the seat of that truck in Little Rock, Arkansas in the spring of 91. And by September of 91, a man come in my meeting, wrote me a check, and paid for it. Paid for it. Over $20,000 paid for the truck. Told me to call the man. Asked him if he still had it. I called him. He said, "Yeah, still here." I said, "You remember me? I'm that preacher." He said, "Yeah, and I don't know why that truck's still sitting on my lot." He had a guy drove out of Dallas every week, stopped and looked at it. He said, "I'll be back next week and drive and buy that truck." And every time he come by there, he didn't buy it. He just stopped and looked at it. So about 8-10 weeks later, I called him and said, "You still got that truck?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Go out there and put a soul sign on it." I said, "You fix and get a check in the mail." Man sent me the money. I sent him a check. We left our meeting in Oxford, Mississippi on a Friday night. Drove all the way to Little Rock, picked the truck up, drove it back to Oxford, Mississippi on a Saturday night and dedicated it to the Lord. Because God gave it to me. He knew I needed it. And if I need that building. I don't care if it's $1.6 million or $16 million or $160 million. It don't matter to God. He said, the silver's mine and the gold is mine. Did he not? Did he not say that? Well, if the silver's his and the gold is his. I'm going to tell you, God give you $16 just as easy he can give you $16 million. It might blow our minds, but God don't care. If I trust him and walk up right before him and do what's right in his sight and I have need of it. Amen? Are y'all following with me? But see, you got to get your mind to the place. And you got to get your spirit man to the place. You prayed into that realm that nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen? For with God, that's what Mary, when the Lord visited her and told her she was going to conceive in her womb and bring forth the son, she said, Lord, how am I going to do this? Seeing I know not a man, I'm a virgin, I ain't never been with a man. How am I going to conceive? And the angel spoke back to her and said, Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Nothing. That's N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And when I was praying about the ministry in 96, had bought a tent, put it up in Canada, Western Canada. Had two tents in the United States. Fixing to put one in Texas, fixing to keep one in Georgia. And that's going to work between the two, having revivals all over the South and Southeast. Had the tent in Canada. Had missionary trips to India, the Philippines. Already been to South America, Central America. Had different doors opening. But I'm going to tell you, with all that, wasn't a lot of financial responsibility. Man, I first got started in tent ministry way back there in the late 70s. I could work and labor a whole week and make it on $150 a week. But time I grew in God and all this started coming together, God started giving me tents and trucks and opening up doors for missions. And I was pretty well walking under load, about $250 a day. By that time had come. And I'm down praying. And I said, Lord, this thing got too big for me to handle. I need some help. And that's when the Lord spoke to me. He said, there's coming a day that I'm going to give you 300 people that's going to help you with $100 a month to get this gospel out. And you're going to refer to them as Gideon's 300. But see, I didn't know God was fixing to totally change the ministry. Fixing to totally take me out from under that responsibility. Bring me into a pastorship and an apostleship and totally recreate the ministry to bring it forward again. And I started talking to some people about this, and the Lord spoke to me 2 or 3 months later. He said, I didn't tell you it's for now. He said, I told you there's coming a day. That was 96. That's 23 years ago. But just about 2 or 3 months ago, God said, I'm fixing to bring out Gideon's 300 forward. You know why? We've been down to nothing financially. God took us all the way down. And I've had people look at me, turn their nose up at me, because there's been times I've had to roll change to get to LJ and go cash change in to get to LJ because the finances got so tight. But you look at somebody don't know the word quit. I could have very easily called y'all, Sister Deborah, and said, I just don't have gas money to come. I wouldn't do it. Devil's a liar. This church will build. The kingdom of God here will build. There will be a church here. I saw one 80 foot long, 110 foot long, and 80 foot wide. I saw a church with that many people in it. A church like that will seat a lot of people. It'll seat 400 or 500 people easy. I saw God do that here. You think I'm going to give up and give the devil the satisfaction? Back in 1977, just about right before I went in full-time ministry, I was an independent contractor. I'd done plumbing and wiring, painting. I installed central heat and air for different contractors. And I was under a house one day, and I had to preach that night. And I was under a house one day, and I was running plumbing. And I'm going to tell you, if I ever got in the spirit when I was doing plumbing, you'd have cold water running to the hot water side of your sink and hot water running to your toilet. Because I'd get beside myself. If I start praying and talking in tongues, there ain't no telling what y'all going to get. You might have hot water running to your ice maker. But I was under a house one day. And I was praying and I was working, and all of a sudden my mind just, I felt like something reached in my head right here. And just pulled my mind out. I just broke and started bawling uncontrollably. I felt like I was fixing to have a complete mental crack up. I mean, I couldn't think, I couldn't reason, I couldn't get a hold of a thought, I couldn't pray. And that went on for about 10 minutes, and I just felt helpless, and I just laid there, just bawled uncontrollably. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God stepped inside of me. And I felt them tongues of the Holy Ghost roll out of me. And God reached down and took hold of me. And He let me see what it would feel like to have a total nervous collapse. That you have no control over anything. And when I stepped in that pulpit that night, when they introduced me and I stepped out there to get the people to pray with me, that thing hit me again. And every thought just left me, and I just stood there. The people stood there looking at me, and I stood there looking at the people, and I heard the voice of Satan speak in my ear. And he said, "Why don't you just tell them you're tired? You're not going to fight anymore. You're just going to give up and quit." Man, something rose up in me, and I said in my spirit, I said, "Devil, I wouldn't give you the satisfaction of knowing you've won." I said, "You ever get me down flat on my back, I'll kick you to death with both feet." I said, "I hate you, and I will preach this gospel to the day they put me in the ground, if the Lord tarries that long." That was in 1977. In February 2000, I fell off a roof. Busted myself up bad, couldn't do anything. Devil got me down flat on my back. But you know something? I kicked him to death with both feet. Flat on my back in pain. Couldn't move. My wife having to set me up in the bed, me having to get up with a back brace on a walker to learn to walk all over again. People was calling my house, and I was speaking miracles to them over the telephone. You got to be determined. You got to be focused. You got to have a vision, and you got to make up your mind you're going to fight for this faith. I'm fighting for this faith, and God will give me those Gideon's 300. God will put the finances in my hand to take this gospel of the kingdom like He told me that I'd start preaching over the internet, and I'll preach to these countries all over the world. And He said, "Then you'll go and establish churches." And it's all going to come into one, just like it did on the day of Pentecost. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they had a governing body at Jerusalem that oversaw the churches. Churches wasn't divided. Ministers wasn't divided. There's too much division in the body of Christ. It's got to stop. You hear me? It's got to stop. If it don't stop, God's going to raise up brand new people. He's going to raise up a brand new ministry and bring in a brand new anointing. And it's going to be like a book of Acts. It's going to be like a Peter walking the streets in a shadow healing the sick. It's going to be like Paul going down after the young man fell out of the third loft and they took him up dead, and Paul went down and fell on him and he said, "Don't worry, he's breathing. He's going to be all right." Or like Peter walking in to where they laid Tabitha out, washed and dead, and he got out on his knees. Was he praying for the power to raise the dead? No, he's praying for the will of God, whether it's God's will to raise her from the dead. He had the power. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This power to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. It's on us. The ministry of the Son of Man's on us. It's on us. But you got to recognize it's on us, and you got to fight for this faith. You got to fight for it. Because the kingdom of heaven, whether you fight or not, the demons are still there. Whether you fight or not, the forces of hell are still around you. They're going to keep you in confusion. They're going to keep you in upsetness. They're going to keep you aggravated. They're going to keep you in the place where you beat your head against a brick wall and run seven directions all one time, if you can. Devil's going to keep you confused. He's going to keep you vexed. He's going to keep you aggravated. He's going to keep chaos and turmoil around you, and he's going to be a spiritual pig pen. But if you'll back up and focus and take hold of this word, take hold of the spirit of prayer, take hold of what God's put in our midst, you can walk straight forward. You can walk upright. Nobody right now has a definitive word to lead God's people. People just having good church. Good church don't establish you. Good church don't strengthen you, and good church don't settle you. And good church sure don't bring you to maturity. That's the reason people can have a revival, and they can talk about how great God moved. They can talk about how the glory of God come down, and then a week to 10 lays, their minds are scattered, tormented, vexed, aggravated, upset, and they're still right back in the chaos they was before the meeting. You know why? Nothing's really changed. Nothing. We need something to change things. We need something to bring us into the ministry of the Son of Man, if that's what God's called us for. We need something to possess our callings. Amen. These notes ought to help you, but there's got to be a unity. We got to come together in unity. And the unity's got to be every day to fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You don't know what to pray for? Pray for God to bring a unity of the Spirit so that we can fight for the faith. We can fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. That may just be three pages of notes, but that's three of the most powerful pages that you'll ever study. And don't just study it. Put it in action in your life. Amen. Put this in action in your life. Because Paul had to fight the same thing. Paul told him in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, he said, I desire to speak to you as under spiritual. He said, but I can't talk to you under spiritual. I got to talk to you as babes in Christ. I got to talk to you as carnal. He said, because as long as there's among you envy and strife and division, he said, you walk as men, you're carnal minded, and you're as babes in Christ. I can't talk to you spiritually. Still got to talk to you carnally. He said, but I got to. He said, you can't say I'm of Apollos. I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas. Yeah, he said, you can't say these things. He said, we're laborers together. He said, I plant, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. He said, we're laborers together. I wish preachers would cooperate with the word of this kingdom. But they don't want to. You know why? Because it's different. This is different. But this will establish. This will strengthen you. This will settle you. This will bring you forward in God. This will help you grow in God. You know, after all that Hosea said, God's torn us, he'll heal us. After 2 days, he'll revive us. Third day, he'll raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then if you shall follow on to know the Lord, he shall come to you as the morning and as the latter and former rain unto the earth. He's going to come to you. God's going to come to us. You know why? We're going to focus and seek him. We're going to focus and seek him. The focus of this church will be to seek God going into the Fort Payne meeting and coming out of the Fort Payne meeting. God may take us a long way in Fort Payne, but that ain't the end of it. We're going to keep focusing. We're going to keep seeking. What did God tell y'all in prayer just about a month and a half ago? If you keep seeking God, not get discouraged, there'd be a move of God to break out here in LJ. Is that right? Has the devil tried to upset the prayer? And he always will. If he can't stop you, he'll stop somebody else. Keep praying. Keep praying. Stay focused. Keep praying. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's the only hope this generation's God. The only hope this generation's God is for us to move God for a visitation. Nothing else is going to change anything. All these people out here protesting ain't going to change nothing. You want things to change? Get on your knees and go to prayer. Well, Brother Meadow, we need prayer back in school. No, we need prayer back in the home. You get prayer back in the home, you'll get it back in the church. You get it back in the church, God will start turning this nation. Amen. The home's out of order. The home is the basis for the church. You get the home in order, the church will get in order. You get the church in order, God will put the nation in order. Amen. Let me tell you something. You don't hook the horse up behind the cart to push the cart. You hook the horse up in front of the cart to pull the cart. We're trying to hook the horse up behind the cart to push it. Now let's do first things first. Let's get us in order. Let's get the home in order. Then we can get the church in order. Then we can get the nation in order. Because getting the church in order will cause the nation to get in order. Amen. Because the home is the center of the church. The church is the center of the nation when it's done right. No matter who's in office, they need God's leadership and God's direction and God's blessing. So let's get it in God's divine order. Let's fight for this because we are in a time of visitation. Well, I'm telling you, we've moved into a season just to be still and know that He's God. I appreciate the Lord today. Do y'all appreciate the Lord talking to us today? Let's go to prayer. Father, I thank you for this. I know that this is right. I know this is your mind and your will for the nation at this time. God, give me somebody that's going to fight with me. Give me somebody that's going to labor with me and sacrifice with me. And Lord, give me the words to speak to your people. That's going to help them get on track and do that which is good and right in your sight. We give you honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate the Lord today. I really do. And I appreciate God talking to us like this. I'm going to tell you, study them notes. They're going to get your attention.